Okay, we would like to welcome all of our dear listeners to the fourth lecture in the series of lectures on the Chasimus Hashas, which I will translate the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud. The Yerushalmi Talmud we'll speak about another time, but right now the Babylonian Talmud is enough to handle. Now, the last three lectures, last three shiurim, we've established certainly, according to the opinion of many Rishonim, many of the medieval commentators, that there's no question about it that the stam of the Gemara, the text of the Gemara, can reveal Shakla Vitalia, which is inserted within the Amorayim, the Moraic sages, right, in a apparently non-historical order. That we've established according to many Rishonim, in fact, probably according to the majority of the Rishonim. In other words, the Shakla Vitalia of the Gemara is a synthetic Shakla Vitalia, probably created by the last generation of Amorayim, and even though there apparently is a dialectic which runs through history, this dialectic was somehow synthetically created by the Gemara. Now, this is in contrastation, of course, to the analysis of the Deiris HaRishonim, the Rizik Isaac HaLevi, the Rosh HaMadabrim, who wants to claim that, you know, the Gemara actually is building up layers of Shakla Vitalia, of give and take, one upon another. My claim is that this opinion is not only the opinion of the Rishonim, which the medieval commentators which we spoke about in the last three lectures, but in fact is most definitively the opinion of Rav Shri Ragoy. Okay, but in order to show that, we're going to have to do a little bit of work today, Yom Yitzhak Hashem, the Baruch Hashem, I think B'Siyata Lishmaya, we will actually discover new elementary hermeneutical particles in Rav Shira Goyin's famous epistle. Now, Rav Shira Goyin, let's understand Rav Shira Goyin is one of the earlier the Goyinim, he's before Rav Hai Goyin, and his letter, his famous letter, in fact actually constitutes a great deal of what we know about the, not only about the Tanam Amorayim, but about the generations which follow the Amorayim, namely the Rabbanon Sabarai, right, the Sabaraic sages, and also the Goinim, the Goinic periods. Rav Shira Goyin is not actually at the end of the Goinic period, but he comes very, very soon after the Shas is written down. So in other words, his letter is very, very crucial because he's about as close as we get to someone speaking about the Masechta. It's very, very nice to sit, you know, in the 20th and 19th century and make all different types of hypothetical formulations about the Masechta to the right or to the left, but there's no question about it that if we go back to history to the 9th, 10th century, the manuscripts from that time are certainly much more reliable, much more authentic. These people were, in fact, much more privy to a knowledge of the Masechta as it was, in fact, actually, as it developed at that time. Now, the basic Rav Shira Goyin wrote an Igeres. There are actually two editions of the Igeres. Actually, the famous the Igeres Rav Shira Goyin actually appears in this edition from Binyamin Menashe Levin. I think it was actually first print. I think it was published in 1920. The Igeres, the epistle itself is actually an answer to a question. We'll see the questions were basic questions were asked regarding the Masechta, the tradition of transmission of Jewish law, specifically during Talmudic and the post-Talmudic periods of Sabaraim and Goyinim. And actually, there are actually, in fact, what's called two Nuschais. There are two versions. There's what's called a Spanish version, there's a French version. Actually, the published Igeres Rav Shira Goyin, which was done by Dr. Binyamin Menashe Levin. So at that time, Dr. Levin shared what was the widespread understanding that the Spanish version was the most definitive version. That was in 1920. However, a little bit later on afterwards, Professor Y.N. Epstein of Hebrew University from Brisk proved conclusively, that the authentic original version is in fact the French version. So I'm going to read from the French version. Now, the Shur Gaon is asked several questions. I'm reading now from, it's actually page 5 and page 6 in Levine's work. He's asked several questions. But actually there are two types of questions. One question is, how was the Mishnah written? By the way, we should know that it's not clear that Rosh Hashanah Goyen held that the Mishnah was actually written down. This actually is actually a distinction between the Spanish and the French editions. I'm not going to go into this in a later lecture. We're going to devote several lectures to actually what was the Mishnah in fact written down. But the bottom line is that according to the French edition, I believe the Mishnah was not written down, and that actually is the opinion of the Ashkenazim as opposed to the Sfaradim. We'll speak about that. But in any case, there are two types of questions. One question is, how is the Mishnah written down? How is the Sefer written down? In other words, the technical questions, how is the Talmud, the Talmudic, the corpus of Talmud materials, redacted? In other words, what was the redaction of the Mishnah? What was the redaction of the Gemara, the Tosefta, etc., etc.? But then there's a second question, which is actually much more of a theological question, is, and the question that's asked, is the following thing. It is a very basic question that's asked when it comes to a Messiah. In other words, Judaism attests to some type of Messiah, a tradition. For sure, we have a tradition of a Messiah. We have a continuous line of transmission of halacha, right, from Mount Sinai, right, through the Tanaim, the Moraim, etc., etc. This is clearly the substance of not only the Shmuel Goyen, but the Sefer Kabbalah of the Ravid, the Rambam's Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah. But with every transmission, there's a fundamental question. Why is it that, you know, many, many halachas are decided later on in history? In other words, clearly one has to reckon with the fact that if we're dealing with a Messiah tradition, why is it that there seem to be novel formulations and novel laws which come later in history, not to mention the fact that there's disputes. And this is actually one of the basic questions that says from Shmuel Goyen, right? Right? The question is, right, since, for example, in other words, if we claim that the Mishnah, or that the Mishnah comes from the Anshei Knesset Gedolim, the men of the Great Assembly, which, by the way, is like the Deiras HaRishonim in contradiction to Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, if it's coming from the Gedolim, so why are the most of the Tanayim, Rabbi Yekiva, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Talfan, these are people who lived after the end of Bayis Sheni, the Second Temple. I mean, where are all these Mishnayas coming from the previous eras? And that's the question that says I'm sure we're going. Right, today we're not going to ask these questions, but Baruch Hashem, the Rishayim, the Goyim, weren't afraid to ask and answer questions like this. And he says, in other words, all these things, my timer, on page 5, I'm reading from the French edition, my time is shavka rabban kamay, rubel batzoy. Why did the earlier generations leave most of the issues to be decided by the later generations? For kosher came im loy nichta bimena klum atzef yom of Sherebi. And certainly, we know that nothing was written until Rebbe. In other words, we see that the majority of jurisprudential weight comes the last 100 years before Rebbe, when in fact the Mishnayos go back to hundreds of years before this. That's the question that's asked Rosh Hashanah Goyen. Now, it is a fundamental question. In fact, this is the question that occupies every scholar, every Talmud Chacham, and occupies the Deiros HaRishonim. Now, Rosh Hashanah Goyen gives two answers. He actually answers the question. He reiterates the question twice in his epistle. Now, it might be actually more than that, but to my knowledge, twice in his epistle, he answers the question at the very beginning on page 7 in the Levine edition. It's very interesting. There's no page number 7, so I'm going to add a 7. Life imitates art. Welcome to Chlamin HaShemayim, should add a 7 to this edition. In any case, he asked the question, Ude Kamriso. I'm reading for the French edition. The French is a little bit sloppier. It's more, you know, more jagged, but of course it's more original. It's more authentic. My time is Shafiqabanakamay. Why did the earlier rabbis leave most of the, you know, the judicial, the halachic legal decisions to the later rabbis? So he says, La Milsehi. It's not really a question. Lo Shafkunob Kamay Wilabasroi. It's not that they left these decisions to the both decisions to the later generations. Elakul Basroi, Mila de Kamoi Galsinan, Vitameyam, Masnu. In other words, we know that the later generations actually transmitted orally both the laws of the early generations and the reasons of the early generation. It brings a raya from the Gemara, right? That in fact they transmitted these things. Okay, now the question is very, very nice. You didn't ask the question. You said there's a Messiah. You didn't ask the question. So, of course, I'm sure Goyen is not stupid. He raises the question. He raises the question later on. It was, in other words, it's an interesting guess. I'm not going to go into his analysis of this. He doesn't really answer the question. He just went with it. He says, that's not true. There was a transmission. But what do you think? They were just photocopy machines. They were zitzabachlem. They were just sitting and repeating over. I mean, the statements are attributed to them. So he actually revisits this question on page 66. He says, he speaks about that in every generation, in all the Talmudic generations, and with the generations of Tanaim and Amorayim, right? He says, things were added in every generation. There were new, novel decisions, right? And says, on page 66, new things were added in the Talmud, dara basa dara, generation to generation. The whole dara kavin be milim misviki, the mechatchin umaisim be. In other words, in every generation there's new questions, and the Gemara's address new questions. Okay, that's what he says? So in other words, that's very good. Now, in fact, actually, this is a beautiful statement for our dara sabin shayna. It's a real Messiah. In other words, everything's Messiah. However, except then what? New questions come along, and you know, in every generation. If Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav speak about electricity on Shabbos, they don't have a Masechta, and that's clear. That doesn't in any way, you know, take away from the notion of tradition. New questions come in every generation. You have to address these questions. And in fact, actually, that's the Deres Rishonim's concept of Masechta. Deres Rishonim in the sixth volume, page 116. He speaks of a basis of Avashi. In other words, the Deres Rishonim, you know, agrees that good part of Shabbat Taya was ordered from a Baya Verava. So what is Avashi doing? So he says that there were new shilas that came up in every era, and because of this, the Avashi had to decide shilas that came up in his era that were not decided already by the Shabbat Taya of Baya Verava. That's what the Deres Rishonim says. In other words, this is the fundamentalistic, I would say Shalom, but in other words, this is in fact actually the more or less the conservative point of view that chidush halachic novela, right, just come about by the fact that new questions come up in every generation, but the older questions which were settled, that was it. However, this is what the Shira Goyen says initially, but he goes on, he has more to say. He says, with the cut, right? The Nami the Duke at Vahavi the Basif and Machachi and one of Basrai, the law by the law Havi Yodin Le Rabbon and Kamai, that which the later generations, right, say things that were not seen to, that were not known to Rabbon and Kamai, were not stated by Rabbon and Kamai for the early generations. And the Mai the Shapka Lamin Basrai, Le Duri Bay. In other words, the earlier generations gave the later generations leeway in deciding halachas. They should establish themselves. And he brings the famous Gemara in Chulin, in the Vavel Beis, that Rabbi Meir was matan Ola Shal Yerek, a vegetable, right? Why? Because Mokum Nichali Mirashamayim, that in other words, the early generations leave halachic, hermeneutical space, judicial space, for later generations to establish themselves. Rashi says that they should become famous. In other words, here already says something different. He's not saying here that new shilas came up in later generations. That somehow, I mean, what he's really saying, bottom line, is that the early generations, somehow gave leeway for later generations to establish themselves. So What's interesting is that how do we square this with his initial statement? His initial statement was no, that Lav Milsi, what are you talking about? That all the generations transmitted halachas and reasons, the early generations, but then he says that no, that the early generations gave leeway for the later generations to establish themselves. Yeah, question.
Is the implication that they intentionally left things unanswered? Or that it happened to be that there was something...
It's very hard to say like that, but one thing is clear. This is what I want to say. 1 + 1 = 2. The fact is, the way I understand, the only way to reconcile those two statements is to say, basically, that the Rambam says in Parapes and Luchas Mamre, that, for example, a later Sanhedrin could overturn a drasha of a previous Sanhedrin. In other words, anything which is contingent upon svara, upon reasoning, right? I mean, even though there's a transmission of both the halacha and both the svara, both the law and both the reasoning, you know, and this is transmitted, but any generation come along and undo the reasoning and decide to, as the Rambam says, to learn a different exegesis in the verse. So in other words, what I claim is, what it says, the early generations gave them, in other words, leeway. What it means is, even though there was transmission of halachas, any generation could decide for any number of reasons to, in fact, reject the reasoning and the law of the previous generations and establish new laws based upon their own reasoning. That's the only way I see you can reconcile the two statements. So in other words, really, the Shur Gaon is telling us there is a Messiah, there is a tradition. But what? But later generations can overturn that Messiah with new reasonings and therefore new legal decisions. That's clearly the only way one can reconcile these two statements. Now, the fact is that Biatzi goes further. Yeah.
Can it not be there are some issues that they didn't rule on at all?
That could be too. But you see, he doesn't say that over here. In other words, he says, he begins on page 66 by saying there's no issues. But then all of a sudden, I mean, he says that the early, you know what, when the early, the early generations gave them leeway, the later generations, if it's a new issue, why did they give them leeway? They didn't know about it. Makes no sense. And in the Gemara and Chol, it's clear that a man was coming to argue on previous generations. So, in other words, what I want to say is, but actually this is going to become a little bit clearer right now. Now, the fact is that this is not the actual final answer he's going to give. Because after he gives these answers, he goes on even further. You see, up till now I could say, well, it really means new questions. That's what it means. They give them leeway to make new questions. But now, take this. This is going to be very, very interesting. On page 68, he says, this is the answer, as if he's now answering the question again. This is the answer that you asked. Zos chuvas maida be'isun. I'm now in the French edition. Left-hand side of the page 68. My time is shavku kamaya gubala basoi. Why the early generations give the later generations the majority of decisions? So he said, you find incredible things said by the later generations. It must have been that the other generations, Shafku, Lahon, Kedelis, Gadaboy, they gave them, you know, leeway or permission to establish themselves. And this way, things are added to the Talmud generation to generation. And now, he quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And this is where things get very interesting. Okay? Interesting. He's almost like asking the question again and giving here an interesting, sophisticated answer. And this is where we're going to have to really understand how did he learn in this Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvav Amud Beis. The Gemara says, right, that Doeg and Achitofel asked 400 questions. They asked 400 questions. It says, "B'migdal ha'pareach ba'avir." A migdal, which means a fortress, but here it means like a small fortress that's flying in the air. They asked 400 incredible questions. They weren't able to get answers. Amma Rava. Says Rava, Rabusa Lambai, boy. You think it's a great thing to ask questions? B'shenide Rav Yehuda, in the years of Rav Yehuda, now once again, Rav Yehuda is the door before Abai and Rava. Gemara says that I'm Gimel, I'm in Beis and Kiddushin, I'm Beis and Beis and Kiddushin, I forget the daf, I'm getting old, that when Rav Yehuda died, Rava was born. And Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel.
Who's speaking now, Rava?
Rava. Right? B'shenide Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, of course, the Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. This is B'stamber Rav Yehuda B'Rabbi Cheskel, a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. B'shnid Rav Yehuda, Kula Tanuya B'Nezikin. Most of the learning was done in Nezikin. Damages. V'anen Kabas Ninan, Tuva B'Uksin. And we learn more. We learn actually things in Uksin, which is one of the tractates and impurities. Chavimati Rav Yehuda Ish Kaveshes Yerach Mekadeira Vamleizes Vekosim Betalfei and Tahirim. And Rav Yehuda got to a mission Oktzin. He said, "Oma, Havayis Rav Shmuel Kachazin." I see the dialectics here of Rav and Shmuel. For Anna and we, Kamasninin BeOktzin. We learn in Oktzin, in tractate Oktzin. By the way, it's the last tractate in Pyrenees. Plus, sorry, we have 30 different ways of learning an Oktzin. 30 different opinions, 30 different ways of interpretations. On the other hand, though, Rav Yehuda Sholev Misani, Rav Yehuda, who spent, like he didn't understand so much, so well, this Mishnah Oktzin, he spent his time in the Yeshivish sectors of Nezikin. On the other hand, though, Rav Yehuda Sholev Misani, he would take off his shoe, Vasim Mitra, and the rain would come down. Va'anan, and we, Tzavchinan, we calling out to God. For like at the Mishkach Ban, God is not hearing us. Ella, but rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lima Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Jew's heart. Dechsiv Hashem Yireh L'Levav. Now, what does that mean? Now, he quotes his Gemara. He's every generation. The early generations left room, space for the later generations to establish themselves. And he quotes his Kabbalah. Rav Ami says 400 questions were asked by Doeg Achitofel, the Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, in a Migdal HaPareach Ba'avir, this tower, this small tower that's flying in the air. And Abba Rava says, Rava, isn't it great to ask questions? He quotes the entire Gemara. Ella, Kutcha B'richu Li'abak. Arva wants her heart. That's what he quotes. Now, after this, he says, on page 69, Ulefum Ha'achi, and in this way, says Rav Shira Goy, Itais V'hayra Dora Basa Dora. Hayra was aired generation after generation until Ravina, the Ipsika, Hayra was ended, like Shmuel Sword, he brings the Gabal and Pevav and Babasim, we spoke about in the first lecture, right? Avash Ravina Saif Hayra. And then he says after that, Ubasa Hachi, and after that, Avu Gabda Hayra lo Havas, even though there wasn't Hayra, Ike Perushe, I'm reading from the French edition, Ike Perushe Uzbare Kraven Hayra. There were Perushim, interpretations, and Sbare, reasonings, similar to Hayra. And these are called Rabbanu Sabarai. That's what he says. What did he bring the Gemara? Now, I want to say something interesting. First of all, it's rather interesting is that if you read this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rav is shtachin, doig, and achitayfu, doig, and achitayfu, we're not pitzadikim. Because Baruch Hu wants your heart. Why would Rav Shriya Goyin bring a Gemara, which is downplaying this notion of creating svos, etc., etc. In fact, the entire Gemara says that Rav Yehuda is the biggest tzaddik. Took off his shoe, the rain came. We daven, nothing happens. What's he bringing this Gemara? The Gemara appears to be downplaying, or in fact, criticizing this method of learning. Why would Rav Shriya Goyin bring this Gemara? As somehow the derech from Achitofel and Doeg, that's what you're learning, that the Gemara right, increases in every generation, new little decisions. Now, it's interesting is that what's Migdal HaPerech Ba'avir? Does it mean a tower flying in the sky? So, even though Rashi, or the Mefarshim, seem to have one notion of Migdal HaPerech Ba'avir, Yoshe HaGoyin speaks about it in a addendum. There were nispachim, addenda to his letter. Addendum? Well, there are several addenda. Okay? What addendum of his addenda? It's Roman numeral X. You don't believe me. And he says, someone asked him a question. What does this mean? What does it mean? Someone asked him this question. Obviously, someone was bothered by the same question I'm bothered by. It's good to know Trump the guy in him. You know, we had simple pshat. So he says, Rav Shlia Goyin, al davishu, oimim ba'avish, leo manal, right? What is the Lashon Chachamim, migdal perech avi, a tower flying in the sky? It says, al davishu, oimim ba'avir. It's referring to something that's in the sky, in the air. It's not standing on a omid, on a column. It's not toli b'moit, it's not hanging by something. It's not hanging by a string. Anything that's in the air, you say perech ba'avir, like the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says in Chagiga Daf Yod, the Dorim, head of the Dorim perech ba'avir. But he says, like this, interesting. Eila ha'ikrim shem Mishnah seinu, the fundamental laws, principles of our Mishnah, yesh behem anofim, they have branches, va'anfei anofim, they're branches of branches. Otherwise, there's the fundamental ideas of the Mishnah. There are branches and branches of branches. Sheyecholim doivachi taifa, the doivachi taifa, lahaitzimihem, they can actually derive from these branches and branches of branches. Kamashaylo, several questions. And on that it says, the Gemara says, that they asked 400 questions, Migdal HaPerech Ba'avir. And this is Mishnei Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Mishnah has branches are branches, and those are the 400 questions. Now, I want to make an interesting remark. This Gemara appears in two places in Shas. It appears in Sanhedrin, and it appears in Brachos, Chafon ben Aleph. In Sanhedrin, Rava makes a statement. Speaking about Achitofel and Doeg, you think it's such a great thing to ask questions. He goes through the whole thing about Rav Yehuda and Utsin, Tleisa Mesifta. Then he ends up by saying, because Baruch Hu wants your heart. He wants your heart. Apparently, the devil didn't have the greatest of hearts. What's interesting is, in Chafam and Aleph and Brachos, when Papa asked the Baya, what's the difference between the early generation and later generations? And the Gemara brings that the early generations had Nisim, had miracles, later generations would have Nisim. The section of the Gemara beginning, Bishni, the Rav Yehuda, in the Yidri Yehuda, is quoted verbatim. And then at the end, the answer is given that the early generations had Mesilas Nefesh, and the later generations didn't have Mesilas Nefesh. I mean, let's look at the structure of these two Gemaras. Gemara, Sanhedrin, 106b, Kuvavim and Beis, Rava says, you think it's a great thing to ask questions? There's a whole piece of Gemara, and then there's an answer, but God wants your heart. Brachos, Chavon Aleph, where Papa asks Abaya, what's the difference between the early generations and later generations? This is the whole same. It's verbatim. Piece of Gemara, speaking about Rav Yehuda, Utsin. And then it says, the early generations had Mesilas Nefesh, right? They had self-sacrifice. But you don't. Which leads me to believe that the whole insertion of Rav Yehuda comes from someone outside who was inserted into the question. In other words, what the structure of the Gemara is really like this. The original question asked was, someone said to Rava, Doeg and Achitofel, asked 400 questions. Meet the Baruch Ba'avia. And Rabbi says, so what do you think? It's a great thing to ask a question? Just follow what your heart. That was the original answer. Rabbi is the Baya. Why the early generations? Why do they have miracles we don't? The Baya is an answer. It's Pashut. They create some sacrifice. That was the basic question and answer. What happened was, I claim, the stem of the Gemara inserted this whole piece about the Yisrael of Yehudah. And I'll tell you, a liar for this is because it says Va'anan, and we. What's we? What's we coming in? It should be third person, a puppet, a baya. And it actually says, well, I take that back. It says Anan lo masrin nevekidush Hashem. But the same words were said by a baya to a puppet. It's very hard to believe that. What I want to claim is what?
Maybe. Maybe. They grew up together. They knew. Some of them knew the same Torah and they had the same Messiah.
Okay, but I want to claim word for word the same thing. It's, and also too, really, if you look at the text, the real answer is, the real answer is God wants your heart. Well, they had Messiah stuff. That's the real answer. That's the answer. But well, in other words, all we're doing is contrast. It's almost like a tangent. Oh, I want to claim. This is really, in fact, right? What happened was, the original question was, what happened to the early generations, the later generations? Or, that was a Papa Nabaya. Or according to Sanhedrin, and Rav asked the question, the Gemara quoted by Rav Shulam Gaon, right? Why are the, in other words, Achitophelis, so many questions. So, it's a good thing to ask questions, not a big deal. Go to Brooklyn, want your heart. You have to be Errol, you have to be, now, I want to claim the following thing. I claim is that the insertion placed here in the Gemara, a letter of a bias saying, I don't really care. You can say it like that too. I think it sounds better like this. The Gemara, the Stam Gemara, what the Gemara is commenting about the fact, how can we see that later generations expand and expand the Torah? That's really the question. That's really the question. Because the question is, that despite the fact that early generations have greater piety, according to Abaya, according to Rava, according to Baruch Hu, you know, it's very dangerous just to ask just questions. According to Baruch Hu wants your heart. But the fact is, the early generations, right, maybe had more heart or greater piety. But the fact is, the Gemara is expanding. How's Gemara expanding? In other words, we see clearly there's a natural expansion of the Gemara. Why is this true? So, Rav Shmuel Gaon in the Nisbach and the Addendum as the reasons. There's anofet, branches, and branches of branches. Now, what are branches? What are branches of branches? Very easy. I claim that even though, like this, Rav Yehuda comes to a Mishnah in Oktzin. So, what does he see? How does he learn the Mishnah in Oktzin? He sees Havayis the Rav and Shmuel, the dialectics of Rav and Shmuel. That's the first generation of Morayim. We, I know who we is. We built, now, the dialectics of Rav and Shmuel, those are the branches. What are the branches of branches? That's we. We take the dialectics and we expand the dialectics. In other words, what we're doing is, for the dialectics of Rabbi Shmuel, we create 12 or twice or 13 the sefta, 13 levels of interpretation. In other words, what's going on? That's branches of branches. What's going on is that, and I claim this section of the Gemara, I claim this is the stop of the Gemara. Now, what's the stop of the Gemara saying? The Stam of the Gemara is saying very, very simply is that, in fact, the Amorayim of previous generations offer interpretations, let's say, of a Mishnah. Come the later generations and take the statements or take the statements of the Amorayim based upon the interpretation of the Mishnah and they expand these. They expand these interpretations. In other words, what happens is that the later generations produce. In other words, the later generations produce dialectics, discussions, and expansion of the interpretations, right? Interpretations which were not known to the earlier generations of the Malayim.
They're really just rediscovering what Dagon Achitofel knew them.
But that's not a gadita. In other words, in Dagon Achitofel's time, there was no Mishnah. Because Rav Shira Gaon just said that the Mishnah...
But they were asking 400 questions. Rav is comparing his generation to the generation of Dagon
Achitofel. I understand. No. But Rav says it's a great thing to ask a question, you have to have a heart.
But then in his generation, they were asking questions.
No. But, you see...
You're saying Rav Yehuda's generation, they had heart. And we don't have heart, so I'm saying it, but we're...
No. The Rava says, he's going to ask a question. You have to have heart. Don't have a heart. Wait a second.
But they were asking questions.
Once again. In the Gemara and Agadita, Achitofel asked questions. Rava says, he says, I'm going to ask a question, need a heart. That's the basis of Italian. Okay? The Rav Shira Gaon makes the connection between the questions and Talmudic dialectics based upon the insertion. In other words, how did Rav Shira Gaon know that when the Gemara speaks about Achitofel, it's referring to the branches of the Mishnayos? Because of the Shadid of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Gemara, the stop of the Gemara, whoever inserted this whole section of Shadid of Rabbi, which appears verbatim in both places, right, is using the question and answer of Rava or of Papa and Abaya as a launching pad to discuss the activity, right, of the dialectics of the Talmud. In other words...
But in the Mashon, the Rava's answer is, questions aren't a good thing.
You need your heart. Okay.
But what he's saying, that in our Rava's generation, they don't have the heart.
No. That's it. I disagree with you. In the basic
shock. Some of the Gemara says that.
Right. In other words, in the basic shock of Italia, because let me tell you something. Rav Shira Gaon says this whatever generation to Rav Asher Avinu.
Right.
So obviously, who said this? Maybe we went up to Rava. Now, what's Rav Shmiya Gaon is smash, but this is a cloud that goes. In fact, what know something? I want to claim. It's really not speaking about Rav Asher Avinu. It's speaking about Rabbanan Sabarai, who make what? Peirushim in Sfaras. In other words, I claim that according to Rav Shmiya Gaon, it's according to what Rabbi Sedley is saying. So, on the basis of this, Rav Shmiya Gaon should have said everything ended with Rava. Why is he making a statement which not only continues to Rav Ashi, but it continues to Rabbanan Sabarai? So I want to claim that what was Rav Shira Gaon's understanding of the sugya here in Shas? That this insertion was put on by the later commentators of the Gemara. That means Rabbanan Sabarai, who are Perushim and Svarim, Kroivim Lahayroa, and these are branches of branches. And the Gemara now is commenting, according to Rav Shira Gaon, on the activity of those who came after Rav Ashi, who are being mefarshim and mesavrim korev lahayroh. In other words, how does Rav Shira Gaon know that Rabbanan Sabarai are being mefarish, are explaining or interpreting and making reasoning close to Torah? How does he know this? He knows the Rav Ashi Avinu Sefer Torah. Why? Because that's a Gemara Metzia. But how does he know this? I claim he knows this from this Agadata. From this Agadata, I claim the way Rav Shira Gaon learned this Agadata is that the later generations come along and they'll make svaras and dialectics, tleisa misifta, which the early generations never knew about. They only saw Avayas de Rav Shmuel. That's my claim. And even though it says Shlita Rav Yehuda, I claim that was only because the basic question is Rav Papa to Abaya, to Rav, Rav Yehuda was the first generation. But I claim the insert, which is clearly an insert because it's verbatim in both Gemaras, the question and answer are different. Why would the same insert? And you see the way it reads in the Gemara, it was inserted inside the Gemara. In other words, what Rav Shlira Goin is saying, basically, is that most of the Svaras and most of the Perushim of the Gemara are coming from the generations after Avashi, Rabban and Sabarai, and these are called Perushai Usvare Kroivim Lohayra. Why are they Kroivim Lohayra? Because they're not specific halachic statements. They're the Shakal Vitalia of the Gemara. That's why they're called Kroiv Lohayra. Hayra means a definitive legal ruler that we explained in the first lecture. Perushim and Svaras, Kroiv Lohayra is the act, the activity of the Sabarayim after Avinu Rav Ashi Sof Hayra, who are produced the dialectics of the Gemara, which don't necessarily come to clear halakhic conclusions, but they're called Hayra, but they produce the Perushim and the Svaras of the Gemara. I claim that's what you're going to say.
The Mikvah and Brachas and Kaf. It continues the story of Masa.
What?
It continues with the story of Masa. Pashat.
Rabbi Berkia. Right. Rabbi Yochia.
Who is later? When is he?
I don't know when Rabbi Yochia was. Oh, that's Rav Ada by Ava. Rav Ada by Ava.
Masan.
No, right. Masan, yeah. That's just an example of early generations.
Is
it
early generation or later generation?
Probably earlier. Probably, well, no, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Nafkamina.
No, it isn't Nafkamina. No.
Is a bias saying...
Because it's Bima Mesiris Nefesh.
I understand, but a bias saying they have Mesiris Nefesh, we don't.
And it is a Raya. This guy had Mesilas Nefesh. Ah, so I claim, the way I learned it, I really don't know, but I claim that Ada Ba'ava was a guy who tried to have Mesilas Nefesh in the later generation, and he ended up a fool. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, because he what? He didn't really have Mesilas Nefesh. He tried Mesilas Nefesh, he never sat to the Shmaya. Uh-huh. That's what I claim. In other words, he's just showing to you, no, just because the pre-generation Mesilas Nefesh doesn't mean that you can actually reenact and you can bring back these generations and our generation. That's what I want to claim.
So if we would parallel that now in the Rava Gemara, we would have they were asking kashas, the previous generation, well, God wants your heart, but Lamais and Rava's generation, they haven't got the option of the heart.
I don't know. Rava's always speaking about Achitofel. In other words, the Gemara was saying, Luna Bitabacham Achitofel is. He had 400 questions. Rava says, what do you care? He wants your heart.
He wants your heart.
In other words, Lamais and the Drosh is Haran. The Ram brings the Gemara, and the Ram brings the Gemara as a criticism of the generations.
That
we see the Iker is the heart and the Kavana and not how much pilpul you know. The Rana understands
it. The criticism of Rava's generation.
Right.
Okay.
But what I want to say is, my point is, I want to claim that Rav Shlira Goin in this letter, Igris, in the statement, that Rabban and Sabarai, who came after Rav Ashi, and they produced the Perushim and Svaras, right, that are called the Hayla, was basing his statement here on what he understood to be the pshat in the Gemara and Sanhedrin that speaks about what? The Tlesa Masifta that it created in later generations that the early generations don't even know about. That's the Makor. And why is it a Makor? Because I claim, Rav Shlira Goin said it's an insertion. See, if it's not an insertion, forget about Rabban Sabarai. What about Rav Ashi Ravina? But if it's an insertion for the Stam of the Gemara, very good. The Stam of the Gemara is making a comment about himself. That's what I want to claim. So what do we see? We see that what's very interesting is I have here the Toldos Tanam HaMoraya, and here it says that two of the Rabban Sabarai are called Saif Svara. They're called Saif Svara. We'll go into this to be Hashem in the next lecture. Who were they? The Sof Svara. It's Mashma. The Ika Svara that we see in the Shach of Italia comes after Rav Ashi, from Rav Ashi onwards. And that's called Perushim Usfarim that are Koyav Leira. What's Koyav Leira? Because they're not strictly statements. It's more dialectics. And actually, who decides upon the dialectics? The Rishayim. The Rishayim come along and decide how they learn the dialectics. What is the Maskana of the Gemara? That's why it's called Kalev Lahayva. The dialectics can give you an indication what the Halacha is, but it's not definitive. When the Gemara says Hilchos, that's from Hilchos Gedolos. So in other words, I claim that Rav Shlira Goin is driving like these Rishayim even stronger, that the dialectics of the Gemara, Perushim Usvaras, the interpretations and reasoning, are coming from Rabbanon Sabarai after Ravashi. Clearly, connected to the Deras Rishayim.
You're making the deal that the there has to be later insertions, whereas it's not a historical.
Right, right.
Because the whole thing only works if you say this is added in later.
Right. Now that too, it's clear. How come? What they're saying is they're saying that Rav Yehuda only survives the Rav and Shmuel. We have placed them as sifter. The generation saw things that the old generation didn't see. We've placed them as sifter. It can't be new sfeikas that rise in every generation. It's new hermeneutics, new interpretations.
But Rav Truitz has set out at the beginning to try and show that the sheet of the Rishonim.
No, that's true. But I'm saying that Rav Shmuel Goyen is giving a handbag. He's actually backing it up. That's how I'm learning Rav Shmuel Goyen. And you see, clearly, he's not satisfied by saying there's new sfeikas in every generation. He says it on page 66. On page 67, he goes on and says that the early generations gave leeway for later generations. Why? I mean, it was a Messiah. They were good as things. It was certainly a Messiah. He says that on page 7. And then he gives another shot in 68. And that's what you asked. He says, that's what you asked. How come there are new, the most interpretations come, the most halakhahs come later on? Then he brings the whole Gemara here. He's going in levels. He begins with the Deras Rishayim, but he doesn't finish with it. He continues. In other words, sfeikas that arise in every generation, for sure that's going to arise. But it's more than that. It's more than that. That early generations give leeway to greater generations means the process is that greater generations can interpret and create synthetically an entire shik of a tie of early generations, even to argue on them. That's called Hilicha ben Hashamayim, that's Gemara Chulin, Vavre Beis. And even more so, he brings from the Gemara that in fact, Anofim and Anafi Anofim. Who are the Anofim? That's the Gemara, that's the Amorayim, and Tukhavim Gemarashe. Who are the branches of branches? That's the Sobarayim. In other words, there's the Ikrim of the Mishnah. There's the Anofim. That's the Amorayim. That's Rav Shmuel. The Havayis of Rav Shmuel. And the Anofim are the Rabbanim Sobarayim, Perushus, Vare, Krovim, Nohiro. That's Anofi Anofim. Medayik of Shmuel Goyim. It's clear. This is all missing from the Deras HaRishonim. He does actually refer to the Perushe Koivel HaHiroah, but he has nothing interesting to say except that. Now, we do see some Rabban Sabraim mentioned in the Gemara. But that doesn't mean, in other words, whenever there's a change of an era, we always see a little bit this, a little bit that. The Tur and the Ran are also after the Rishonim. The Ran acts more like a Rishon, the Tur more like an Achron. In other words, some of Rabban Sabraim are making specific statements. But the main activity of Rabban Sabraim is to create the svaras and the perushim, which are, what's called l'hayra? It's the dialectics of the Gemara. Hayra is a halachic statement. I've explained about the Shita the Rashbam, the Kaflabel of Beis, and Baba Basra. Kav l'hayra is the dialectics of the Gemara. It's not hayra, but it comes to hayra, at least hayra. But who makes the high law of these dialectics? The Rishonim, the Rif, the Milchemes, the Balabah, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Rif, and the Taisbah, Rosh. That's Kar Vayor. That's the Pshat. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I think we have a Pshat in Rav Shrira Goyim. I'm very interested in hearing your comments, your critiques of this, but I think this is actually Pshat. Now, it's interesting. Is that the chiddush and the reason of Shmuel Goyen is that the two paragraphs of 69, according to this, heroes in every generation, and after this, are both following this. In other words, when Shmuel Goyen speaks about Sabai, it's not a new section. It's going back to the old section. Shur Gaon is trying to base the dialectics of the Gemara and the Pesukah B'Rai and proving it from this Gemara. What's interesting is that for the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is criticizing Achataifa. Rav is criticizing Achataifa. Because of Shur Gaon, it's a Maila. How are you going to buy it from the criticism? Because it must be an insertion. In other words, if I look at the scale of the Gemara, Rav is criticizing. He's saying Musa. It means it's a big lamdan for you. You're meant to be Ehrlich. You have to be Ernst. But the insertion means that no, we're setting you aside. In a Marayim. I mean, who could be the Marayim Tachi Taifa? I mean, not for sure, Gai. Except that what? You see clearly that even though the skeleton question and answer was a criticism about Futaifa, ultimately, the stam of the Gemara, as Shur Goyim most acutely, right, bears out, is coming to characterize the very, very essence of what the dialectics of the Talmud is. And that answers the question, why is there greater halachic weight in the later generations? Okay. Baruch Hashem, we're just beginning. We're just beginning. Because what we've done up to now in these four lectures is to give a background to things that we never thought were said by the Rishonim and by the Gaonim. The question is, how does this... We have to go a little deeper into this. How does the process work? We want to speak about how were things transmitted. I mean, there certainly was a Messiah. Things were transmitted. Nothing was forgotten. Things were not forgotten. Chas v'shalom. We're going to speak about people who claim things are forgotten and they're wrong. Not to mention there's probably apikosis in it, but they're wrong. They have no basis for saying something like that. But exactly, how do we explain Peushim Dechukim in the Gemara? That's the central question. Why does the Gemara appear to interpret things in ways that one might say are not somehow commensurable with the statement in its original source? That in Mirat Hashem will be the subject matter of the next, probably the next 15, 16 lectures, but we will in Mirat Hashem begin with that the next time. In any case, I want to wish everybody a Kesivah Sebetova, a good year. It should be a blessed year for us and all of Klal Yisrael, and especially for those who are learning the Chassidus HaTalmud.